John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm going to read through the passage before we get into the text tonight. John chapter 6, so you can see the continuity of it and how it flows. In John chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." We're going to look at this passage tonight, and if you want a title for this, it would be The Blessing of Availability. The Blessing of Availability. This is one of those unique passages in Scripture. It's almost like a David and Goliath passage that you can go back to time and time again, that there's one lesson after another, after another, after another. The well is so deep here as far as the account and the information that is here. And as we open this passage up tonight, by the way, this is one of the few things, if not the only thing, I'm not sure if there's very many, this may be the only one, the account that is actually in all 4 Gospels. Well, actually, the resurrection is in all 4. This account, the feeding of the 5,000, is in all 4 Gospels. It's very, very unique that it would be included that way, especially what you see it in John, because John is a unique gospel written much later than the others, really focused on the Gentiles, or written to a Gentile world that didn't understand Jewish concepts. And so anyways, let's get into the text. And as we talk tonight about the blessing of availability, let me introduce this passage by saying this. Well, you're in John 6. Hold your place and go with me over to chapter 10 for just a moment. And as you're turning to chapter 10, I'll mention this, that many believers today live boring and mundane lives. Many believers today live boring and mundane lives. Sadly, many want to live a boring and a mundane life. They enjoy that. They like the exact same thing every day. No changes. Don't change anything. I like it just the way it is. And it's the truth of it is, you look at it, it's like, what are you living for? They do nothing more than exist in their lives. These are saved people. They stay out of trouble. You're not going to see them in the convict list or the FBI's most wanted. They stay out of trouble, but they don't accomplish anything. Maybe it's because they consider themselves as unimportant. Some people are that way. Maybe because they lack confidence. There's that. Or they don't believe that God can use them for whatever reason, maybe something in their past. Or maybe they're just lazy. I don't know why, but this is a truth that we know is very prevalent in the world in which we live. How different it is than what Jesus said he wanted for us. Look at John 10:10. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." I believe that's referring to Satan. In contrast to that, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, that they may have life, eternal life, and that the life that they have or the experience of that eternal life would be an abundant life." And that's what God wants for that. Abundant. The word abundant means overflowing in quantity and quality. The Christian life that God wants for us is a life that is, that's got some excitement to it, that's got value to it, okay? There's something going on. We see God moving. That's the Christian life that God intends for everybody who's a believer. In John chapter 6, it says this, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now remember, tonight we're talking about the blessing of availability. First thing we want to touch on is this. You notice Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Here's where we're going to begin tonight as we look at the rest of this text. We never know what a day may bring forth, but God does. We never know what a day may bring forth, but God does. We see that in verses 1 through 6. He knows what he will do that day. He has a plan for that day. He has a desire for that day. For what? His will? Certainly for his will. But can I tell you this? For you and me as well. He wants us to be a part of what he's going to do that day. What he is wanting from us is to be available for what he wants to do that day. Let me ask you tonight, are you available? Are you truly available? Or are we so pressed, are we so bent on our schedule that there's no room for a detour from God or a heavenly appointment from God? What he can do will astound us at times if we'll just let him. As a matter of fact, the Lord can work miracles with us if we're willing. In other words, we can see miracles worked if we are willing to cooperate with God. But it takes on our part, it takes availability. Watch this, verse 2. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain and there he sat with his disciples. I wonder what he was thinking. Maybe he was thinking, this is really going to be interesting. He knew that people would talk about this for time and eternity, what he was about to do. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, is nigh. Now, that is a unique thing in John, where John takes a Jewish concept and he defines it for his audience. You don't see that in the other Gospels. But John is explaining to those who will read this what the Passover is, very briefly, but he tells it. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip, where are we going to buy bread enough for all these people? Now, I don't know if he had a smile on his face or not. And this he said to prove him, to test him. Watch this. For he himself knew what he would do. Isn't that amazing? God already knew what he was going to do. And so he puts the problem out there. Let's see how they react to this. I know what I'm going to do. Let's see how they react to this. You know what I think a good prayer is for us to have? This never came to me until today. I think this is a good prayer for us to have. Lord, I want to be in on what you are going to do today. Lord, I want to be in on what you're going to do today. Let me ask you this, Christian. Don't you want to be in on what God's going to do today? I mean, is there anything better than what God is going to do today in people's lives? Don't you want to be in on that? I would like to think we all want to be in on that. Which leads us to our second point, though. With the truth of it, we never know what a day may bring forth, but God does. Secondly, we must be available and bring what we have to the Lord. If you want to be in on what God is going to do, be available and bring what you have to the Lord. You might say, I don't have much. You have more than you know. Why? Because God is the one who equips us. That's why. He'll always give you what you need. I'm amazed how that goes. Okay, verses 7 through 11. Verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth or denarius of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One commentator says 200 pennyworth or 200 denarius is the equivalent of 8 months of wages for the average worker. 8 months. One denarius was a daily wage. That's one day. Verse 8. So Philip, When faced with the issue, he gets an E. Failure with effort. But he's failed. Let's move on. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here, there's a boy here, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? So Andrew brings the boy and he says, well, there's a lad here. He's got a few fish and a few loaves, but what are they among so many? Do you get the picture there, by the way? Andrew was somewhere between the boy and Philip. I think he gets a C+ in this situation. He had faith, but he kind of wavered on it. Now, you might say, well, why do you believe he had faith, Pastor? Because he brought the lad. So here's this monstrous crowd. We say the feeding of the 5,000 folks. It was well over 5,000. You notice it says 5,000 men. If they were there with families, it's probably closer to 10,000 or more than 10,000, depending on the size of the family. But here's all these people there, and this is the food. But yet, even though there wasn't enough food, Andrew still brought the boy. But once he brings the boy, he's kind of doubting the situation. How's this going to fix it? I mean, here's some food, but what are we going to do? There's a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? Can I say tonight you may feel small and that you don't have a lot to offer? But remember our first point, the Lord already knew what he was going to do. The boy didn't bring much, but the Lord was in it. How many miraculous and wonderful works would the Lord do if we would just be available and faithful? He used the loaves and the fishes to feed this monstrous crowd. He used them. It wasn't much, but he used what was brought to him to accomplish a miracle. Listen to that. Think of that in light of you and me. We're not much, but if we're available, God will use us to accomplish miraculous work. Miraculous work, Pastor? Yes, miraculous work. Let's look at this. Verse 10. And by the way, this boy had more faith than the disciples did. He gets an A because he had his stuff and he was there because Jesus was there and he offered up freely. He offered up what he had. He offered up all he had to see what Jesus would do. That's an A. His faith was not in the circumstances, but in the Lord who controls the circumstances. What a difference. That's the difference between failure and success, right? His faith wasn't in the circumstances because, listen, if they had truck after truck after truck of food to feed all these people, there's no miracle in that. Now, it might be miraculous that they could get it done in a decent amount of time, but this is amazing what took place. What faith this little boy must have had. So I think he was right up at the top as far as grading the three, if you're going to grade them. I think he got an A. I think Philip got a C+ or a B. Andrew, excuse me. And I think Philip probably got an E or maybe a D+. Nevertheless, there they were. Verse 10. And Jesus said, so he took it. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, a number about 5,000. Again, it doesn't include women and children, probably more like 10 to 15,000. Verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. I assume they were in some sort of in the baskets. Here they gathered them together. Hopefully you don't read over stuff like this and just keep going. Do you ever stop and ponder it like God wants us to? You know, for me, I look at this and I think, okay, was the Lord waiting for people to look away before he refilled? Or were they glued to the basket and they saw the fish appear? I don't know how it happened, but this really happened. How amazing this is. Listen, this food is being created as they watched it. They're watching creation real time here. This is amazing. This is amazing. Notice that they took the food from Jesus, then they gave it to the people. You know, I looked at that and I thought, that's just like sharing the gospel, isn't it? We get the truth of salvation, the truth about the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. We get that from Him. We get our salvation from Him. And then we turn around and we share that with somebody else. Which leads us to our third point. The Lord can do miraculous works if we cooperate with Him. Now, folks, we have to get over this thing of, well, that was in Bible times. Things like this don't happen today. Miracles don't happen today. No, listen, I don't know of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 going on today. Maybe it's happening somewhere. But there's other miracles taking place. I can tell you that for a fact. I know that for a fact. The Lord can do miraculous works if we cooperate with Him. Verses 12 and 13. Look at it. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Okay? The Lord can do miraculous works. Let me tell you of a miraculous work that the Lord can do. What about winning a soul to Christ? How available are you? How available am I to this? Come here, we've got fair evangelism. Now, that's not the only time of the year to share the gospel. And I'm glad to say people all through the year are getting saved through the people in our church. I'm very grateful for that. Okay, we've got the preaching, we've got the teaching, but then we got the one-on-one. And we've got people sharing Christ and leading other people to Christ through RU in, you know, living rooms and friendships and all these things. People bringing people to hear about Christ. We're all in this together, right? But can I say this? The moment a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ the Savior, a miracle takes place. This is not an exaggeration. This is not using the term miracle lightly. It's using it appropriately. When we win a person to Christ, this is a miracle because the new birth is a miracle. A miracle is only something that God can do. A miracle is when God intervenes. A miracle is not you passed your test in school. Maybe with some people it's close, but I can remember, I think I've told this before, when I was in Bible college, I can remember as a senior class, a student should have been, he must have had a carnal moment. I don't know what you call it. You know, you've heard of a senior moment. This would be a carnal moment of a student in college. And so he was there and it was a systematic theology test, I believe, was the class. And he said, we're going to take the test. And is there any questions? Or are there any questions? And the student raised his hand and the teacher said, yes, this really happened. This is when I was in school. And he said, would you pray that we would do well on this test? And the teacher got a big grin on his face. He says, why don't we do this? Why don't we pray that you will be able to recall what you've studied and God will reward you according to your labor. Right? Now that would not be a miracle. The new birth is a miracle. There's nothing there. Through believing the gospel, someone is born again. They become a child of God. There's a new child of God in the family of God for all eternity and everything that comes with that. That is a miracle. It's only God who can do that. This is a miracle. Why? Because nobody could have done this except God. But folks, listen, we can be part of what God is doing. The blessing of availability. And when, if you lead a person to Christ, or if you help somebody out of a difficult situation in their life, or if you're just the one where they were about to give up and you were the one who came at the right time, at the right day, and you offered the encouragement they needed to keep going, and they didn't quit and they didn't drop out of church or whatever, but they stayed on and it was because you were available to be there and give them what they needed. Boy, I'll tell you what, that makes it worth waking up in the morning. See, that's the abundant life that Jesus talks about. And He wants that for all of us. And all of us can do that. And you know what's really neat about this? That third point, the Lord can do miraculous works if we cooperate with Him, is this. They ended up with more than they started with. Isn't that the greatest thing? See, that's the way it is with God. you end up with more than you started with. Oh, maybe not in material wealth, but in the blessings of God you do. Think about that. And isn't this exactly what the Lord gives? Isn't that the way it goes for those who serve Christ? They end up with more than they started with. You end up with more than what you began this availability with. All starting with, Lord, I'm available. Lord, I want to be used of you. I may not be anything flashy. I may not be, you know, great looking or super talented or whatever, but I'm just coming with what I have. Lord, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Lord, my loaves are about to get moldy even. But I'll bring and I'm going to offer to you what I've got, and I want you to take what I've got, and I want you to use what I have. And God says, watch what I do. I can do miracles there. Hold your place here and look with me to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians 3 in verse 20, it says this, now unto him that is able to do above what we ask or think. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Look at those words. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. Look at how many layers that is. See, this is the way God wants to bless the lives of his children and use them. He wants to use us in a mighty way, but it's an issue of availability, like the little boy. He came, he brought what he had. It wasn't a lot, but God took it and he used it in an abundant way. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands were blessed. I wonder how many people ended up getting saved through that miracle. You know, that little boy had a part in every soul. Every soul. Think about that. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So it's God's power working in us to where we can accomplish and we can end up doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So can I say on this, getting back to the beginning, what is your life like? Are you satisfied with the mundane, or do you want something to where, you know what, something can be accomplished here? I believe today is going to be a day when I'm going to see God work. I'm going to see God work some miracles today. Go back to John 6, and we see that. Verses 12 and 13, we see that the Lord did a miraculous work because they cooperated with him. They did what he asked them to do. And by the way, the other disciples helped out, right? They went by faith and passed out the fish. And again, look, I don't wish I lived back then permanently, but I wish I could occasionally go back and see these things, don't you? Now, I'm glad we live when we live. I'm glad we're living today in this time. This is an exciting day to be alive for Christ. The opportunities are amazing and how God opens up doors, right? But here's the point. I just would have just loved, you know, Thomas. You pick him because, well, you know the name. Thomas, let me do your basket for you. I got to see this. How does this work? You know, and doing that and bringing that and just, you look at, ah, look at that. There's more in there now. Or you're looking at it and they just come and there they are. The fish are there. How did it work? It happened. How did it happen? Boy, I wish I knew. Anyways, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Fourth point is this. When we walk by faith and serve the Lord as we should, God will be glorified. You see that in verse 14? Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth the prophet that should come into the world. They glorified God through this. You're in John. Go over to chapter 15. Chapter 15. It says in John chapter 15 and verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Yes, each of us can bear fruit. Each of us can. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you You know, the Calvinists look at that. See that? We haven't chosen him. He's chosen us. Wait, it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about his desire for us to bear fruit. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. There's a lot of Christians who don't bear fruit. Yet God has still chosen them to go and bring forth fruit and to bear fruit. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. So we have been chosen simply because we're children of God. He chooses us to go and to bring forth fruit and that the fruit would remain. I can't think of any fruit that would remain better than a soul who's won to Christ, because that can't be undone. And we'll close in chapter 6. Be encouraged tonight. That's why we're covering this. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a word here for you tonight. God offers you everlasting life in heaven. He is the bread of life. That's the message of chapter 6. He's the bread of life. And if you receive him as your Savior, if you put your faith in him, he'll give you eternal life. You'll be born again. It says in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, and those are the ones who come to him by faith, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. When you understand you're a sinner, when you understand you can't save yourself by your works, when you understand that's why Jesus came, was to die on the cross and die in your place and pay for your sins and be buried and rise again. And he rose again 3 days later. When you believe, you trust in him that he did that for you, God gives you that very moment everlasting life. You are born again. There's another miracle that has taken place. And you're a child of God forever, something that can't be undone. Folks, we all should want to get in on that, okay? There is tremendous blessing to being available. The question is, will we be available? If we're not available for God, we'll miss out on the blessings. Your life will become mundane. You'll get discouraged. You'll get down. You'll feel like a failure. How much better to say, Lord, here am I. Take me. Use me today. Well, friends, that concludes this edition of Voice of Assurance. Thanks so much for listening. And would you share this ministry with a friend? To contact us or learn more about our ministry, please visit www.northlandchurch.com. Your prayers and support for this ministry are greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, and God bless you.